Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
There are three big questions that every person needs to be able to answer clearly and directly, and they are, who am I? Second question, why am I here? Third question, what will happen to me after I die? Where am I going? How we need to definitively answer those three basic questions about life.
The truth is, you can trust God's forgiveness. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares his message, Forgiveness, and shows you how you can enjoy a heart full of compassion and grace toward others. Stay with us and hear more from Dr. Young on The Winning Walk. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Victory Over Death.
For hundreds of years around the world, worship leaders have stood up before Easter congregations, and they have exclaimed, Christ is risen, and the congregations answered, He has risen indeed. This is a different season of the year, because all around the world today, there are not congregations worshiping on Easter except through internet, through television, through other means. So as we are looking at the Easter miracle, I'm going to say, Christ is risen, and I hope you'll respond, He is risen indeed. There are three big questions that every person needs to be able to answer clearly and directly, and they are, who am I? Can you answer that question? It's a question of identity. Second question, why am I here? That's a question of purpose. Can you answer that? Third question, what will happen to me after I die? Where am I going? How we need to definitively answer those three basic questions about life. And the answers are found in, first of all, in Christmas. That wonderful event in history, Christmas, answers the question, who am I? What is Christmas? Virgin Mary gave birth to a baby in Bethlehem. You say, well, so what? Babies are born every day. Babies were born in Bethlehem every day. So what? The so what is that baby was the incarnation. That baby was Emmanuel, God with us. And that baby came into this world to make it possible for you and me to have a relationship with God. God gave us life so we can have a relationship with Him. And Jesus entered this world to make that relationship possible, to give us identity. And then someone asked, well, who am I? You can say, I am in the family of God. Jesus came to make that relationship, that family reality. Also, the second event in history would be Good Friday. Jesus of Nazareth, crucified on a Roman cross. You say, well, so what? What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means this: Jesus, who lived a perfect life by the testimony of friends and family and enemies alike, Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sin and for my sin. Well, so what? What does that mean? That means that if we're going to have a relationship with God, it has to come through Jesus Christ. We can't just boldly go up to God because we're unclean. There's shame, there's hypocrisy, there's phoniness, there's all kinds of sin in our life, and God is a holy God, and therefore Jesus Christ came and took all of your sin and all of my sin upon himself and died on that cross. And now that cross is a bridge, so you and I can get to God through the cross. The cross has a vertical part of it. That's the divine part of Jesus that reaches all the way to heaven. The cross has a horizontal part. That's the human part of Jesus. So that cross is the bridge by which we go across and we get into a personal relationship with God. Very simply stated, Jesus died the death that you and I deserve to die, so you and I can live the life that he designed for us to live. You see, the cross then establishes in you and me a purpose which is clear: to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And now we can, because we're in relationship with him. Answers that second basic question about life, Good Friday. And finally, Easter. What is Easter? This Jesus who died was buried in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and three nights. There in that tomb, God raised him from the dead. You say, well, so what? It means that if you and I in relationship with God through Christ, the Bible tells us because he lives, Jesus lives, guess what? You and I, we too will live beyond this life. You see, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, if you want to really grow up in your faith, or you're grappling with whether or not all this Christianity is real or legend or myth, or you shake your hands and say, who knows? Let me suggest that you read the story of Jesus, the biography of Jesus. Four of them: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those four biographies slowly, maybe in a modern translation. And then I invite you to go to the Easter chapter in the Bible. Where's the Easter chapter? 1 Corinthians 15. It clearly explains all of the Easter message to you and to me, and it is magnificently written. Let me begin by saying the historical fact of Easter is the most examined event in all of history. Everything that has happened in the dawn of humanity, no event has been more scrutinized, questioned, criticized, looked at than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul knew it began right there in the beginning. So he states, I witnessed people who knew that Jesus was dead and God brought him back to life. 40 days following his resurrection, Jesus was on this earth in his resurrected body. And he appeared 13 different times. People who didn't believe in him, enemies, family who doubted him, his apostles. So we have all these events until finally the eyewitnesses on one occasion, more than 500 men viewed him. And that means that women were not counted in that day. That means there are about 700 to 800 people there with the older teenagers. And they knew he was crucified, he was dead, and they witnessed he is alive. And so Paul begins with this testimony, saying how he too had witnessed and testified to the resurrected Lord. So he gives eyewitness account, seems to give clear testimony that Jesus did indeed conquer the grave. But it's more than that. There's all the evidence that was there, the empty tomb, the grave cloths and things that were still in place, the rock that was rolled away, the testimony of the guards who were there, the testimony of the Jews who were astounded, the testimony of his friends, the testimony of, first of all, the genealogy of Jesus, the genealogy of Mary, the genealogy of Joseph, how they perfectly fit. And what about all those almost 100 prophecies written thousands of years before? They were perfectly fulfilled and completed and seen in the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus. So we see the evidence piles upon evidence. N.T. Wright, a scholar and theologian, looked at the resurrection from every angle. He has written a book of 800 pages just on the resurrection. Imagine that. I've never read all of it. But a little synopsis, he comes to the end, and he says the criticism he hears about thinking people, historians, died in the resurrection, he said they say that no religion, no Gnostic paganism, not even Judaism, ever even comprehend or thought about someone dead 3 days being resurrected. Why? Because they knew it was impossible. And N.T. Wright says, up to the resurrection of Jesus, certainly it had never happened. And he said, since the resurrection of Jesus, it has never happened again. And people think, he says, that seeks to disprove the resurrection. He said, is the very opposite. That is the point of the resurrection. The point of it, in that Jesus conquered the grave, was raised by the Father, it verifies his identity as to who he was, his promises, his claims, his future. It makes it all sealed and signed and real and valid and true truth. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you for that testimony. That's the testimony of Easter. But we know a lot of people still doubted the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. And so we see that he deals with this. And Paul clearly said, he said, if Jesus did not conquer the grave, everything about Christianity is phony, it's false, it's a lie, it has no relevance at all. And then he talks about those who did not believe, even with this overflowing evidence that it's true. To those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, let me tell you something about those individuals, and you may be one of those yourself. It's like, well, you could say driving a car without windows. How do you drive a car without windows? Well, if you step on the gas, you don't know what you're going to run into. If you turn left, you may go over a cliff. You turn right, you back up. Man, driving a car without windows would be filled with fear. And therefore, when someone thinks about death, and they're living a life without windows, no wonder there is great fear. Therefore, in the Western world, we try to say, you know, death is not real. We try to make it beautiful and gloss it over. We dress it up with limousines. We dress it up with music and flowers. And we have little sayings that we say, oh, she's never looked better. It looks like he could stand up and talk to you. And we try to get death out of the way. We try to make a friend of it or deny it. That's the world in which we live. It's interesting. 150 years ago, when people lived half as long as you and I live, death was a common thing. There's a funeral tomorrow. Somebody died yesterday. And death was a part of the conversation. Nobody thought anything about it. But in our generation, conversation, you can talk about sex, you can talk about intimate things, and it is all over the media, advertising, everything you can imagine. Sex is just a part of our culture, but talk about death. Be with a group of friends, you begin to bring up death and the challenges of death, and they will push you to one side. So people who are living a life without windows is like driving a car without windows, and the future, death, is the most ferocious thing, the most frightening thing you can imagine. And if you have problems with death, and you go to a secular psychotherapist, and you say, you know, I need help, you know what the psychotherapist will tell you? He or she will tell you, death is natural. They may even quote that little verse in Ecclesiastes, a time to be born, a time to die. Death is a natural thing. It comes to everybody, and they try to use that to comfort you as you are afraid of death. Let me tell you something. You can't hide death. You can't make a friend of death. And I guarantee you, death is not a natural thing. There's no scientific evidence on the planet that death is natural. Let me tell you what death is. Death, as Paul tells us in this chapter, is an enemy. Is an enemy. It's an enemy of life. But the beautiful thing that we experience in Easter is that enemy has been defeated. That enemy on Easter died. Death died on Easter. An enemy that has been defeated, and we reign victoriously over it. That is a powerful truth of the celebration of Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And then we ask some questions. We go up and we wonder, well, these are questions we find in the scripture. After we die, what kind of body will we have? What will we look like? Will we know others? What will be our appearance? Paul answers it here beautifully in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. And with what body do they come, he asks. He said, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. What you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. And then he says, there are celestial bodies, that's heavenly bodies. And he says, there are terrestrial bodies, earthly bodies, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star different from another star. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown, he says, in corruption, and it erupts and comes out of the ground and in incorruption. A body is sown mortal, it comes out with immortality. What's he teaching us? He says that Jesus Christ's death is the first fruits of all the fruits that will follow. In other words, Jesus, when he died, he was buried, he came back from the grave, and that resurrection body is a prototype of the resurrection body you and I will have when we go to heaven, when we leave this earth where we've lived all of our life. And it's interesting how he develops this. He said, you take a seed and you put it in the ground and said, when it germinates and it grows, what comes out of the ground? Another seed? He said, oh, no. He said, that seed grows in the ground and it germinates and it comes out that which God had put in that seed. It may be a flower. It may be a tree. It may be a plant. And Paul said, this is the way with your body. He said, we take this terrestrial body, this human body we have, and it is buried. We die, and when it comes out, we will have a celestial body. That's the resurrection body. And we will be like Jesus was. Now, let me remember to explain something. Everything that is physical, that's this body. Our body is physical. The soul is everything that's you. It's your personality. It's your background. It's who you are. It's who I am. It's our experiences, our memory. It is love. It is all that is intangible about you. That is your soul. All that is tangible about you and about me, that is our body. And I can tell you something. This body is not equipped to live outside of time. Only the resurrection body are we equipped to live in all infinity and all of eternity. And what happens? Paul goes on to talk about a body of dust. That's this body. Then he goes on and talks about a heavenly body. That's our resurrection body. And he says, we're planted a body of dust. He said, though in Christ we are born again, we are raised again out of the dust, and then we have our resurrection body.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
In Old Testament times, 30 pieces of silver was the value of a slave accidentally gored to death by an ox. The amount given to the prophet Zechariah is an intentional insult for the rejected shepherd, who was a prefigure of the Messiah. In a prophetic fulfillment that occurred centuries later, that same sum of 30 pieces of silver was all it took for Judas to agree to hand over Jesus to the Pharisees. Such a paltry sum speaks of how lowly Jesus was viewed, not only by Judas, but also by the chief priest. They traded away the Savior of the world, the Holy Son of God, the promised Messiah, for the price of a dead slave. Take a moment and ponder what value you place on your relationship with Christ. How much is Jesus worth to you? What have you been willing to trade your faith for this past year? Did you trade your witness for social acceptance because you were afraid someone would mock you or think ill of you because of your commitment to Christ? Have you given away your time and treasure to pursue personal ambition, an inappropriate relationship, or some habitual sin rather than spending your time, effort, and energy seeking first the kingdom of God? How highly do you value your salvation and relationship with Jesus? Spend some time asking God to reveal your cheap trades, and then ask His forgiveness. Follow up by asking Him to give you a heart that values Jesus above all else. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, you declared that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. With joy, a man sold all he had to buy that field. Oh Lord, you are my treasure. Forgive me for the times I have traded my faith so cheaply for things that are of no eternal value. Let this moment be a recommitment of my heart to value you above all else, to treasure the faith you've made possible, and to give all I have to be a member and servant of your kingdom.
We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who He is, what He did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, He spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us tomorrow to hear the rest of Dr. Young's message and more proven truth about the victory you have over death.